Art, it's great to have your company for a very special hour here because we're lucky enough to have the best in the business give their thoughts on the big spring carnival races, which are just around the corner. Of course, we kick off the first Group 1 with the Winx on Saturday. We'll try and dissect and have an early discussion about the majors, the Caulfield Cup, the Cox Plate, the Melbourne Cup, the three-year-old classics, also the Everest, the sprinters, and any horse, any race you might want to talk about, you can throw it out to our stars, David Gately, Ron Duffacy, and the ratings expert, Daniel O'Sullivan. Just before we get into that, though, unfortunately, Matty Stewart's a little crook today, so we don't have Matt Stewart's regular news update. Let's hope we can get Matty back tomorrow. I hope you're feeling better, mate. But just a little bit of an update. Jet Stanley, unfortunately, an apprentice, Brent Stanley's son, had a fall yesterday in New South Wales. So I've just had a text conversation with Brent. He's all good. He's heading in to have surgery on his collarbone this morning. So hopefully he will be back. But other than that, he is A-OK. Tonight it is the big Judmont and also the great Voltigeur. We'll talk to the guys because there are a couple of Melbourne Cup contenders going around, so we'll have all of the news from the huge York Festival, which kicks off this evening and runs throughout the week on Racing Pulse throughout the week. But it is time to welcome in our stars today, and it is very, very kind of them to give us our times. And as I said, for all of the listeners out there, 0416 90 50 52, ask any questions, any horses, any races. Ron Duffacy is the guru in Sydney, who we love to speak to each and every time when we do our previews, and he joins us once again. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, g'day, Michael.
This time of year is such an exciting time of year where there are so many unanswered questions. And this year we've got the intrigue of more internationals. We've got the two-year-olds turning three. It's going to be difficult to try and distill and come up with the horses and the stars that we want to follow. There are so many questions at this point in time.
I think you put it exactly right. We're probably 3 weeks off knowing a lot more. So it's tricky to be isolating horses that you want to probably put your money on at this stage. And, you know, especially a lot of them are very well found in the market. So I think I'm going to learn him off these other couple of gentlemen more than I'm going to give out this morning because, like I say, we're still 2 or 3 weeks short of having a firm opinion, especially with these three-year-olds, these early three-year-olds. Is it the old brigade? Is it the new brigade? Because there's so many promising horses around, and we're yet to see them sort of have a look at each other, and we're still yet to see even a couple of them trial from the last two-year-old season. And there's so many lightly raced horses that have shown so much.
David Gately joins us as well. Gator, great to have your input once again. And from your perspective, is it the three-year-olds that hold the biggest quandary for this upcoming spring carnival?
Well, I think so, because it just hasn't been really a standout from the two-year-old brigade, has there? They've been pretty even, and history says one or two will really emerge, you know, like the junior footballer that goes into open grade. They mature at different levels, so who's that going to be? Like, I can't tell you right now, but I can have a guess.
Well, that's what we want. An educated guess, which we always get with you, David Gately. And Daniel O'Sullivan is the scientific ratings guru expert who can tell us what the performances have shown us in the past and what it may lead to in the future. Daniel, great to have you on board. How are you?
Yeah, good day, Michael. Really well. And like Duff said, I mean, this is a great time of year and really looking forward to getting back into assessing the better horses.
We'll split it up into the different categories. We'll start with the key majors, the Caulfield Cup, the Melbourne Cup and the Cox Plate. This year it's going to be intriguing, Ron, because we've got more internationals that will come into play, especially for a Melbourne Cup. I mean, if you have a look at the early tab market right now, the market is headed by internationals for the Melbourne Cup that we don't know, A, if they're actually going to appear and what their form lines will bring when they come out here to Australia. And it's probably made even more difficult this year because we don't have last year's Quinella, very elegant and incentivised. Cleveland, who a lot of people may never have heard of, is the equal favourite in the Melbourne Cup at $15 with Dewis. Loft, another international at $15. Kimora, who'll join Team Hayes, an international at $18. Deauville Legend races tonight in the Great Voltigeur at $18. Huya Mal is at $18. We'll join the Bott Waterhouse stable. And then we've got last year's third place getter, Spanish Mission. So, gee, it's difficult to try and decipher the Melbourne Cup, Ron.
I'd suggest the Melbourne Cup's impossible. That's all foreign to me, all that, all the talk you're speaking about, because I really don't do any form on them until they're on the plane and landed, to tell you the truth. But the marketplace says they're smart horses. History tells you the internationals are very competitive in the Melbourne Cup, and it's a tough race for the Australians to win, the Australasian horses to win these days, because of their profile as far as the money involved and the prestige involved, and it's an international race. So it's a great race, but a hard race to assess, you know, when coming to the end of August.
Daniel, do you do ratings on these internationals that are likely to arrive here as well?
Yeah, I do, Michael. I've had a reasonably good look at all the internationals, or at least the ones that are reasonably in the market and or sort of carry some form and ratings that might measure up. As you highlighted, there's quite a few of them are going to be going around. There's some tonight and just in coming weeks, so that could change everything. But at the moment, yeah, I've got, you know, my top five are all internationals, basically.
Can you run through your top five for us?
Yeah, sure. I've got Deauville Legend. He's running tonight or early tomorrow morning. He's a Northern Hemisphere three-year-old, and I just really love the upward spiral that he's on. He's run four consecutive peak ratings. His last rating already measures up as competitive in a Melbourne Cup, sort of down in the weights, and we know those Northern Hemisphere three-year-olds have a really good record. So I've got him on top at this stage. I guess if he wins or runs particularly well tonight, he could shorten from around, I think he's around $21 at the moment. My next in the list is a horse called Irocene, who's a French horse. Probably no one's heard of it. So worth looking up, though. I'm not 100% sure whether it's confirmed as coming, but he's a lightly raced five-year-old. He started his career with a heap of wins. Again, he's one of these horses that's been on an upward spiral in his performances and ratings, which I really like for the internationals sort of coming here. And interestingly, last year, he actually attracted some interest from Australian buyers looking to buy a Melbourne Cup horse, and for whatever reason, that didn't eventuate, but he has been nominated for the race this year and brings some ratings that would make him very competitive. Cleveland, who you mentioned, got him in the mix. He's an up-and-comer. I think he's a four-year-old. He's only had about seven or eight starts with the Lloyd Williams team, so you've always got to respect that. He's still got a bit of work to do in terms of his progress, but he certainly has the profile to make that. And the other one I've got rounding out my top five is a horse called Mojo Star, who resumed with an excellent run in the Ascot Gold Cup, which off a nine-month break, which is a 4,000-metre race, and we often talk about turn of foot and things for a Melbourne Cup, but he actually does have another really good rating over 2,900 metres when he was... and he was also second in the Epsom Derby, so I've got no problem with thinking that, you know, he's got the turn of foot and so forth to be competitive in a Melbourne Cup if he makes the trip, and I think he's around the $26 mark.
Yeah, he is $26, Mojo Star. That Irocene, you can get $51 at the moment, Dan. So do you have a little early spec play?
Oh, I haven't done anything at this stage, Michael, to be honest. It can be, a little sort of tricky. Also, as we mentioned, we don't know how likely these horses are to come yet, so that there's not a lot of content around at the moment in terms of confirming who will or won't sort of make the trip. I believe Deauville Legend is likely, all being well. Obviously, Cleveland would be if Team Williams has sort of purchased. But as far as Irocene and Mojo Star go, I'm not 100% sure about what the intentions are at this stage.
Gator, do you wait until the internationals are on Australian soil before you look to get involved? And who would you have as a leading local contender?
Yeah, look, so I'm probably a hybrid between Duff and Daniel. I've had a bit of a look, but I tend to... Yeah, take a much more forensic look once the passport's been stamped. Had a good chat to Carl Dora, who's a terrific judge of internationals, and he does great work for a number of platforms to help. And, you know, just did a little spring preview for Miles Racing family as well, and sort of landed on Deauville Legend at this long stage as well. He did a really good job, I thought, last time, running by Mel, who had run second in an Epsom Derby. They thrashed the fourth horse. It was only his seventh start, and that Northern Hemisphere three-year-old that Dan touched on is a good recent profile until things change. You know, we stick with what's been working. I think Spanish Mission, to answer your question sort of half, is probably the pick of those we've seen. Did a great job in a really fast Moen Cup last year. You know, I think it was the fifth fastest in history. And he was effectively, you know, off the plane, wasn't he? And had that extra year to acclimatise, since had a good campaign in the summer-autumn. I'm interested in Cleveland, certainly Loft and Dewis, you know. So I've taken a little speck already. I've taken Sydney to win the flag about 5 weeks ago, into Dewis to win a Caulfield Cup. So really wrapped that Ed Cummings is going to dodge the race and head to the Moen Cup now.
Well, Duff, you may have missed the interview. I just spoke with Ed, and the quandary this year is who a natural top weight will be, and will weights be raised for the Caulfield and Melbourne Cup? And Ed Cummings said, look, she's a favourite for the Caulfield Cup, but we're going to need to see what the weights are, because if there's a question of getting a penalty, winning the Caulfield Cup into Melbourne Cup, and she's already going to carry a heavier weight than what we think, we'll go to a Cox Plate. So what's your thoughts on where GUS might run?
Well, he has got a grandfather that probably goes through history and probably looks at horses like Saintly and whatever. So, yeah, look, he's got a few options there, Ed, and she's a really progressive mare, isn't she? So she's ready to stamp herself in a peak of preparation, I would suggest, and you know, she could be aimed at anything he wanted to if she proves that she comes back, which is no reason that she won't. So I think Australia's best hope, really, to win one of the two big majors is the Caulfield Cup, obviously, but rather than the Melbourne Cup. But she will be, she'll be probably programmed to probably peak for the Melbourne Cup.
Well, Dewis is the early favourite now, $11. Montefilia, $15. Nonconformist, $15 around. So, Surefire, there's a few SMSs saying that the markets are just too thin this time of year. I think it was $80 into $15 after its win on Saturday. And then you're at the Crystal Pegasus at $18. And the question mark about Mr. Brightside, which way they would go. If you were going to have an early throw at the stumps in a Caulfield Cup, Duff, who would be your number one seed?
Well, I wish I had the $80. Surefire, he's a lightly raced import, typical Chris Waller, second racing prep in Australia. To do what he did, I don't know if Dan rated him there on Saturday, but to do what he did, I thought was very, very good for a 1,400-metre race, considering that he won first up at 2,000 metres last preparation, and he hardly crunched down. But on the other side, you might say his best form might be fresh, but he is a very interesting horse. I think he's a better horse in this preparation. There's no doubt about that. And he started off with a bang. So at least we've had a look at him, and he impressed. He really impressed in my eye. And I think he's got to be one of the top picks in the Caulfield Cup. You've got the obvious there in Jewish. You've got Montefilia, who's being set for the Caulfield Cup. You know, David Payne's adamant he wants to peak her for that day. But look, they're all well found in the market. They're all very well found, and is there sleepers amongst them? I've sort of got the Sydney hat on. Wet or could be an improver, another import, slowly with the Snowdens. And if you want to go right down the list, you can pluck others out. But the marketplace has got hold of the good chances.
Yeah, do you agree with what Duff has to say about the performance of Surefire on the weekend, Daniel? How does its rating stack up to the tried and true Dewis Nonconformist Modophilia?
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't say anything different to what Duff said about Surefire, all of those points. I mean, obviously, he needs to rate quite a bit higher than what he did on Saturday, but the key point is that he did that over 1,400 metres. He sustained very strong sectionals from the 800 with very little deterioration, which is typical of a stayer. And I think that he only needs to find probably three lengths on what he did on Saturday, and he's going to be in the mix down in the weights in the Caulfield Cup. And given that was 1,400 and what you'd think to be natural improvement up to his more preferred trip, I think he has to be right in the mix on what we've seen so far. Montefilia is the other one I landed on. I'm not confident in the Caulfield Cup at all, because it's probably even less certain or more uncertain what internationals will run in the Caulfield Cup. We might be able to confirm which are coming for the Melbourne Cup, but those that will have a lead-up run here in the Caulfield Cup is, or just come straight off the plane, is always tricky. Montefilia was, I think, fourth in the race last year. In the autumn, she actually went to another clear new peak when she was clearly better than Very Elegant in the Rampant. So I think that little reference there of running fourth last year and then proving she was even better in the autumn, set for the race this year, I think that positions her well as a contender at this early stage. But as I think you said before, I mean, the market's giving away nothing at the moment.
Gator, question off the SMS. What about Crystal Pegasus, who's the stablemate to Surefire? Forget its run on a wet track in Sydney. Do you give it a chance in a Caulfield Cup?
Yeah, look, I think he can win plenty of races in this country. I'm not sure a Caulfield Cup. I think he can get to the race and run well in it, probably without winning it. But look, as the boys have touched on it, it doesn't look the race where there's going to be this elite international competition. It's more a Commonwealth Games than an Olympics. And that gives him some hope down in the weights. So I love the way he's progressed this time in. So I wouldn't talk you out of him. I've probably got Surefire ahead of him in the pecking order, but, you know, it's a long way off.
Dan, one last one. We'll move on to the Cox Plate. Just an SMS from a listener. I'm not sure if you're across a lightly raced horse from the Joseph O'Brien stable called Point King. Joseph O'Brien's got a lot of entries, which could certainly turn out very well. If they arrive here, I think they've got Gear Up, Rise Up as well. So there's a big team from Joseph O'Brien. It just, I suppose, hinges on which ones he actually brings.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's a very lightly raced three-year-old. I think he's only had four starts. He's still got a long way to go in his ratings yet to sort of measure up. He's certainly headed in the right direction, so I wouldn't knock anyone from having a spec on him at a big price. But, yeah, like probably a big bunch of them we could identify, they've still got to take quite a few steps yet to measure up.
Duff, the Caulfield Cup and the Melbourne Cup might be a little bit of a puzzle, but we've got exposed form that we know in the Cox Plate. And just having a look at the market, Zaki's quite short from the tab point of view. It's a $4.50 favourite. Animo's at $8. We get to see him back this week. And State of Rest has eased since his disappointing run a couple of nights ago at $8. Real World, there's an SMS here saying we haven't heard much about the Godolphin horse Real World. Dewis at 15, then you're out to I'm Thunderstruck and Mr. Brightside. At this point in time, Duff, who would you have as your top pick in a Cox Plate?
Oh, it'd have to be Adam, the new kid on the block. And, are these older horses going to, you know, still have got peak performances in them, the Zarkies and whatever? There's question marks on State of Rest, how he's going. There'd be probably question marks on Dewis as far as, you know, if she's going for a Melbourne Cup, if she's sharp enough for a Cox Plate, is it the lead up? And then is there a young horse going to put their hand up? Could it be? I don't know. I'm in love with this horse, Elation. I know he hasn't beaten anything yet, but I think he could be a star of the spring. But it has to be Animo. If you were singling one out from this, the way I'm looking at the race, you know it's his target, which is always a great start, and you know he'll be well trained to win the race, and he has got, I think he should have won the race last year.
Would you take $8 at this point in time, Duff?
No, a lot can go wrong with horses. You know, if I'm betting free post, I've probably got a 25-1 limit on it. Yeah. As it gets closer, that may get a little bit, I can adjust then. But as far as this far out, putting your hand in the pocket in an all-in market and taking $8, I'd rather pay the fine and make sure my horse is in good order.
Gator, is it going to be the tried and true that we know, the runners that contested last year's Cox Plate and Zaki, who was a short price favourite but was scratched on race morning, or is there a new kid on the block? Oh, we might have lost Gator, so I'll ask you that question then, Daniel. And from a ratings perspective, who is the top rater?
Oh, look, I think it's very, very competitive. I can't believe that Zaki's such a short price favourite. He's a good weight for age horse, but if you take away that really big Doomben Cup win, which rated through the roof, the best of his other form, he sort of hit a ceiling on my numbers around 104.5. There hasn't been a Cox Plate I can see that's been won in that sort of rating, so he's going to need to go better than, you know, basically somewhere between the best of his most recent form and that Doomben Cup win to put himself in the mix. I think he can still run very well, and he has to be given a heap of respect, but to have him that short price, this point in time seems pretty crazy to me. Again, I'm sort of with the internationals at this stage. I think state of rest, as we know, won the race last year. He's definitely improved since then. His Prince of Wales win rated even higher. He was disappointing in his most recent run, but look, he's going to have plenty of time to freshen up and get here for a second tilt at that race. And the Godolphin horse, Real World.
Mm.
If it can be confirmed that he's coming, then I think he's a serious contender for this race. I mean, he's run less than two lengths second to Bayeed in the Queen Anne Stakes in June. He was three lengths off the same horse in his run prior to that. You know, Bayeed is considered the best horse in the world right now. You know, Real World's got existing ratings from those last two runs that could win a Cox Plate. I noticed he didn't run in the Sussex Stakes, which Bayeed won, and he's not in the Judmont later tonight. So perhaps that means it's more likely that he's going to come here, that he's sort of been put away and not contesting those races because the preference is to come in for a Cox Plate. So if it was proven that he was coming for the race, then I think he'd definitely be a horse to take strong interest in, along with State of Rest. And I think the fact that Zarkin's so short making a bit of a market there for some of the others. The other one I'd throw in at odds would be Gold Trip, who on his overseas form has ratings to be really competitive in a Cox Plate, potentially be somewhere in the finish. And I thought his first up run for the Kiramar and Dave Eustace stable the other week was more than acceptable from a mile back in the field where he was really no realistic chance. So, yeah, he's one to throw in there. It must be your odds.
So, a question off the SMS. You haven't mentioned any of the Aussie up-and-comers. I'm Thunderstruck, Mr. Brightside, or Western Empire. Where would you have them?
Look, I think Western Empire on his railway would be definitely a chance. I still think just a bit of a query. I believe, off the top of my head, he had some sort of back injury and also some sort of chips removed, so I'd really want to see him at this stage. But of what we saw in that railway, he's potentially a superstar. Animo's obviously there again, but again, he's shorter in the market than those other horses that I mentioned. When I look back at my history of the Cox Plate, I've got some sort of fairly clear indicators of ratings that horses have reached in the season before or in their sort of, you know, through this winter period for a Cox Plate that have gone on to place in the Cox Plate. And at this stage, I don't think any of those sort of up-and-comers have sort of hit that mark. So while they are up-and-comers, it's not easy to improve to the levels that are needed to win a Cox Plate. I mean, the higher up the scale you go, the more difficult and the rarer it is to improve each half length or length. So when we start talking about weight crunch championships, yeah, I'm with the horses that have already got the runs on the board because history shows that coming off last season or at least for the internationals sort of through this winter period and summer, there's a clear benchmark you need to hit.
Gator, you were all over Zaki last year, and I know the futures punters got their fingers burnt with the Cox Plate. I agree with Daniel. I think he's way too short at 450 at this point in time. Have you got early thoughts on the Cox Plate?
Yeah, look, I'm just working around him this year. Look, he went in the morning of the race. He was a hot favourite, of course, and had that elevated temperature, went to a McKinnon and just thrashed them in the worst part of the track. I mean, he's just a better horse than Cascadia, Malunga, those sort of gallopers. But he's not getting any younger, is he? And his last run was disappointing. I didn't love his action. He's trialling well. He's a superstar. I love him. But at 450, I'm going to work around him this year and look at a couple of those up-and-comers, like a Western Empire. I'm expecting really good things this prep from him. He's trialled really well. He's only a five-year-old. He's won seven of his last nine. And, you know, probably should have beaten Regal Power in the miss. And I'm with Dan on Real World. Looks, you know, beat all bar the unbeaten superstar, didn't he? Bayeed last time he thrashed the third horse. That third horse had run really well to Tiger Moth. It's almost won a Melbourne Cup here, and that was in a Group 1 Irish Derby. So if they head here, I'm taking real interest. I think the other up-and-comer is Profondo. Forget last prep. I'm still convinced he's a really good horse.
Yeah, we've got an SMS up. I was going to ask you about Profondo. He's $26. What do you make of Profondo this time in?
I think he's a very good horse as well. I think he's sort of been re-educated and a lot of work's gone into him. We're going to learn a lot more about him on Saturday when he resumes, you know, a Group 1 weight for age for an inexperienced horse. So I think his trials have been great and he's I think he's in for a really, really good prep. If you ask me to, you know, single five horses out to, that I want to, I'm keen to follow or tag on their first up runs for as far as a future reference, and he'd be right up there on the list.
Yeah. He's going to be fascinating, the Winx on Saturday. And just to give you a little bit of an indication as to the power that Daniel O'Sullivan has after he mentioned Gold Trip, it's $26 now into $18 in the last 2 minutes for the Cox Plate. This is our special spring preview, speaking with the best in the business, David Gately, Ron Duffersey and Daniel O'Sullivan. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll turn our attention to the three-year-olds and the sprinters in the upcoming spring features.
Ready to run. We're searching for the stars we'll see this spring.
Signal from behind and they're racing in the Lexus Melbourne Cup.
This is the Racing Pulse Spring Carnival Preview.
Great to have your company on the Spring Carnival Preview with Ron Duffersey, David Gately, Daniel O'Sullivan. Gents, let's focus on the three-year-olds now, which we said at the top of the program is probably the most intriguing category of horses heading towards the Spring Carnival. And Ron, we get our first real pointer of the three-year-olds and how they are going with the Golden Rose. And if you have a look at the market, we've got the two-year-old form, which is really the favourite, Fireburn, Sejardin and the like. How do you think Fireburn's come back? Is she a Golden Rose type horse, or we hear Gary Portelli talking about maybe getting out to a Cox Plate? What's your feelings?
Yeah, look, I want to see her. She's had a trial and wasn't asked for a lot there, and she's got a lot of wet track form there as well. This Golden Rose market is, I don't know what to think of it, because obviously Fireburn was the, you know, champion two-year-old, and she's still going to show that she's come back in a suspect year, I think, really. Best of Bordeaux has looked brilliant, absolutely brilliant in that trial the other day. But is he a, you know, is he a 1,200 metre horse? That's got to be the question there. And then you've got then all the improvers, you know. I don't know what to think. There's got to be holes in this market somewhere. We've already had that race the other day where we had Spacewalk and Zuccarino. They're $15 chances, but when you're looking at, you know, down the list there, there's probably other horses there that I'm very, you know, really interested to see come back. So I reckon he's a really good horse. Political debate. He's a good sort of a horse. I don't know whether he's got any form, but I think he's got an enormous amount of upside. I could go down the page here and make cases for 50, 100 to 1 chances there. There's a horse at 50 to 1 here. I think he's got an enormous future. He might be, I don't know if he's a Rose horse or a Caulfield Guineas horse, a horse called Aussie Pinko, the Chris Waller horse. He interests me a lot. And there's a filly, you know, that's a 50 to 1 chance here that's running on Saturday, called Willinga Beast, who I think is a filly with an enormous promise to do what she did at a second start, going to the Percy Sykes and running a really good race. I'm interested in her. But, and then we've got a filly like In Secret, who's got no form at all, with a Hawkesbury maiden win and a Scone restricted win, who has just savaged the line in two wins, and she's highly touted as well. So there's so many horses, these three-year-olds, who are capable of taking the next step, but there's no indication of it. We're just a couple of weeks off finding out.
Daniel, can you get any indication from the ratings of the two-year-olds, or is it we start again as a three-year-old with a blank canvas?
Oh, I think we need to have a really open mind, Michael. I mean, it's difficult enough in any year, but this year we're coming off what I think was a weaker than average two-year-old crop, especially as far as colts are concerned. We're also coming off a Sydney Autumn, which was just wet after wet track, so we don't know. There may be horses there that totally unsuited by the wet and could jump out of the ground as early three-year-olds. So Duff touched on a couple of horses I really like there. Ossipenko, I think, is a potential top-class three-year-old, even though he's only run in two open handicaps so far. I think he's a live Caulfield Guineas chance, possibly Golden Rose as well, but perhaps more Caulfield Guineas. And also In Secret, who has only won at Scone, but has got some really good figures, strong late. I'm just not sure where she's going to fit distance range. Distance-wise, I'm Invincible out of Eloping, who was a sprinting mare. So whether she's going to get up to that 14 and maybe 1,600, or whether sticking to the sprint trips and maybe something like a Coolmore is fit for her.
Well, Ossipenko's a $26 chance. Gator, there's a question here too from a listener wanting to ask about Promito. How do you rate this horse and heading towards the Caulfield Guineas?
Name of the horse, please.
Promito, Promitto. Have you got that one there? Duff, are you familiar with that one?
Yep, he's trained by David Atkins at Newcastle. He's had one start, and he was very good winning one of those slipper lead-ups, and he was good straight away. He's had a trial back at Newcastle. He had an exhibition gallop during the week at Newcastle. He's a very interesting horse, a lovely type. And one of these horses, one start, one win, impressed, looked after, looks a good mover, and along with about 20 others that are unbeaten, you know, in one and two starts, he's right up there to have another look at.
When we look at the Caulfield Guineas market, After Cabin's now into $8 favourite. Is that an overreaction, Daniel, or is it a fair favourite at this point in time?
Look, I mean, pricing is a difficult thing far out from the race. I do think he deserves to be favourite. I mean, what he did the other day at Sandown, the overall rating, obviously not good enough to win a Caulfield Guineas, but he's well on the way. And the turn of foot, he showed soft late, or all the traits of a horse that'll measure up to a race like that. So I think he deserves to be favourite. I mean, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge yet. We're going to see a lot of good three-year-olds emerge over the coming weeks. Yeah, I don't think you could take $8 or $9 and think that you somehow got yourself an edge. But, yeah, I do think that he's rightfully the one to beat at this stage. As I said, Ossipenko is the other horse that I've got right in there. I think even though he's not coming off any stakes runs at all, I think he's potentially a really good three-year-old for this new season with Chris Waller.
Gator, who would be the three-year-olds from the Colts and Geldings that you're looking at right now for the futures?
Again, I just did a little spring preview last night, and for what it's worth, I agree. I think AF Cabin probably deserves the place at the top of the market now. It's interesting, that win to the eye was exceptional. He thrashed a horse who was on the heels of Berkeley Square prior to that. Berkeley Square, of course, went to Flemington and won, and won well, and... Yes, and Berkeley Square's $15 chance as well in that market. I'll be shocked if Political Debate isn't a serious horse. I'm still trying to work out how he got as close as he did in that Atkins from the spot he ended up. It was just unbelievable. Malayne was a lovely return. Grand Impact's an exciting one. We're just at the start of the journey, really, as far as this race. But that's my order at this stage.
Just a quick one, Dan, off the SMS. How do you rate the likes of Jacano and then Berkeley Square, the newcomer, up against those that we've seen as the two-year-olds? And Fajita Sand's second favourite, we've only seen a couple of times as well.
Yeah, I think Fajita Sand is a really promising horse. Still got a long way to go, but he's certainly bred to be better with a bit of time and getting up around the mile. So, again, one or two runs into his prep and we'll know a lot more about him. I personally couldn't have Jacano in any of the top races at this stage. I mean, I think he's a nice enough horse, but, you know, has a negative sort of run style, always gets back in the field, and I think still has to sort of, take a couple of big leaps to measure up.
Duff, who do you think's the filly that we want to be following throughout the spring?
Well, it all depends what distance range we're talking at. You know, we've got some sharp fillies there. You know, we haven't seen Cool and Gatter back yet. Mm. So she's the lost one in the sprinting bunch there. I want to have a look at In Secret as far as the sprinting three-year-old's concerned, Best of Bordeaux as far as the sprinting three-year-old's concerned, and then we're looking at more the mile and plus maybe horses. And like I said, I'm liking the look of, as Gator said, Political Debate as far as getting over further. Willinga Beast, I think that filly I mentioned before, yep. I want to see her back at the races, which I will on Saturday, and get a look at her. So there's a few three-year-olds there that I'm interested in, but there's just so many of them. There's a staying three-year-old called Flag of Honour who only won a winter race of Chris Lees again. So he looks a staying prospect the way I'm looking at him as well. So and there's a
a couple there that have only had a few starts with typical, when Chris Waller gives these horses one or two runs in the winter and then looks after them and they have a light autumn coming into a spring, you don't know what to expect.
Gator Fireburn, she's extreme, the slip of form, and then you're out to She's a Belter at the top three in the 1,000 guineas market. Are you looking at those ones or the up-and-comers that we maybe haven't seen as exposed?
Sure. My order as of the 16th of August was Gennady, who was a really smart winner on debut. Certainly some merit on the clock there. She beat herself at the second go. Would have liked to have seen Thronbone run well the other day, but I don't think that's any guide to her chances. In Secret, Unbeaten. Recent trial over short course was good. Haven't seen She's Extreme at the trials yet, but I think she's exceptional. And She's a Belter, won the size in Queensland, won the Atkins, beating Political Debate, beat Swiss Exile. And now, it's obviously, a race like the 1,000 guineas is fillies only, so that she's beating up on the boys. So she interests me greatly as well, early doors.
The sprinters, the Coolmore, I'll just get your thoughts on who you think is the best sprinting three-year-old off ratings and maybe an up-and-comer. Daniel?
Look, I think Duel has to be there at the moment just on what we saw on debut there. Again, we'll need to be quite a bit better than what we've seen to win a Coolmore going off history, but that applies to all of these early season three-year-olds. I think In Secret, the other one we've spoken about a couple of times, Duff has as well. Really like what she's done as a two-year-old and just going off the fact that she's behind Invincible out of a sprinting there. I've sort of pegged her more for the sprint races this season, and she could be one that comes off scoring form as a two-year-old to measure up to the better races in the three-year-old.
A question about Giga Kick. How did you rate its performance?
Yeah, really good. I mean, 97.5, which is, genuine lower-level group class. Unsuited, the race was run moderately in the middle stages. Seriously good last 400. Looks like he's got a little bit more to offer. Just depends how much. I mean, probably needs to, find a good sort of 2 to 3 lengths to measure up for a race like the Coolmore in historical standards. But as I said, coming off the two-year-old season we've had, they're all pretty much in the same boat.
Duff, have you got a sprinting three-year-old that you like?
No, like I said, I still want to see them come back and see most of them trial, but obviously most has been said there. I think there's potential there to put their hand up with your In Secrets and your Best of Bordeaux's. But, like I said, we haven't seen a Cool and Gather back yet and whatever, and something might put their hand up. But they're the sharp-looking types, aren't they?
You agree, Gator?
My order was Dual at this early stage. Obviously, the debut win was terrific, quickly spelled, and they're targeting the race, which if you're having an early play, you want to run for your money, don't you? And may not happen with Jewess, but give her strength, I'll be campaigning there. But Jewel looks like he'll head to the Coolmore. Giga Kick. I thought the last 600-200 splits were outstanding at Caulfield on Saturday. Still doing a lot wrong, which I like. Gives that upside. And Maximilius, interesting one. He's a bit of a price. Chased Cool and Gadder in a recent trial. They gapped the third horse. They ran very fast time. They would have thrashed Lombardo in the morning, a Group 1 winner. I think he's a really good talent, but a bit of a dill still. So if they get his head right, he could interest me at a price as well.
Boys, can anyone beat Nature Strip in the Everest? Duffy's the $2.80 favourite. You've got Mazu at $8, and then Classique Legend coming back as the next best at $11.
It's hard to say that he's not a deserved favourite. He's back from Europe. He's had a trip overseas now. He's not getting any younger, but he's been very well. He's been very well handled. And Classique Legend is still untapped. He's had his issues along the way, but we know he's very good when he's right. And if he is right, there's still improvement to come. So. And we don't know. It's a similar thing with Mizzou because he's untapped as well. So, he's not unbeatable. He's not unbeatable, as he's proven in the past. He is beatable on his day. So it's not a one-act affair.
Gator, would you be betting around a horse like Nature Strip coming into the Spring Carnival after his performance at Royal Ascot and coming back?
I think the bottom line with a race like the Everest and a lot of those big sprint races is he's the one with all the runs on the board. He's the one sitting there in the chair with the crown, the king's hat on. They all have to take the throne off him. So what needs to happen for that to happen? He has to underperform significantly, and or one of the others have to come up to this world-class level, which not many can do, you know. I think I share Duff's sentiments on Classic Legion. I think the talent is extraordinary. I mean, he sailed by Nature Strip in one of these a couple of years ago, but, you know, can you fully trust him? They say he's back and flying. But, you know, it's called gambling for a reason. He's got the main box tick that he's well and truly good enough. You know, the others, all of the others, aren't at their level yet. And I'm talking about, you know, all these up-and-comers, extremely lucky, Uncommon James, Espiona, all of them. They have to get to where the other boys are at.
And where does Mizzou fit in your ratings, Daniel?
Look, he's there with a bunch of other horses. I personally think he's a little bit overrated at this stage by markets. I mean, he's been remarkably consistent, and I think we tend to have a habit, when horses keep winning, we elevate them in our opinion, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're still improving. So, look, he's going to be somewhere in the mix. I mean, I think everyone's hit the nail on the head that it's really about whether Nature Strip runs up to his best or not. I mean, for him not to win, he has to underperform. The two horses I'll throw in there behind Nature Strip would be Lost and Running, who already has a slot, I believe. He only had two runs early February, March. He ran a new peak first up there. So I think there's still some little signs there that he might have the best ahead of him. He's still only a five-year-old. And I'll throw one in at real sort of bolters odds, Overpass, who at the moment would be well and truly outclassed. But he is only a four-year-old, three-year-old from last season. His last prep was his best one, where he ran a couple of new peaks and established a new platform there. And he recently won a trial by about 10 lengths and went like a rocket. So he's another horse that's still got some potential for his best performances to be ahead of him. Obviously, still has to get a slot. So if you're looking for a big throw at the stumps in a race like that, then he might be one there. But yeah, it really is about Nature Strip, and if he turns up at his world-class best, I don't think anything will beat him. But if he underperforms, it's a wide-open race.
This is the Spring Carnival Futures Preview, the early look at some of the feature races. We'll take a break with Daniel O'Sullivan, Ron Duffacy and David Gately. When we come back, we'll do a quick whip around about a few of the other races and get some early thoughts, like the Golden Eagle. We'll also look at some of the races that are upcoming. Obviously, we've got the Winx this weekend, we've got the Memsey, we've got the Rupert Clark, those types of races, and any horses that they want to follow throughout the spring. There's a few more questions to come. We'll squeeze it all in before 10.
Ready to run. We're searching for the stars we'll see this spring.
And they're set for the Goldfield Guineas, and away they go.
This is the Racing Pulse Spring Carnival Preview.
Welcome back to the Spring Carnival Preview. We'll quickly whip through a couple of SMSs. Hey, boys, I think you're missing the point. I didn't hear a three-year-old mentioned for this year's Cox Plate or Major Races. Tom from Tasmania thinks it's the Kiwi. Sharp and Smart, who will be very dominant. Does anyone, Gator, give Sharp and Smart a good chance maybe against the older horses in a Cox Plate?
Oh, look, if he keeps progressing, I mean, I thought he was terrific in Queensland. He and Political Debate were both accepted. So if we're giving one a hope in those sort of races, we must factor in the other one.
Hey, Ron Duffacy, do you know what's happening with Annabelle Neesham's horse called Vern? Last year beat in the Congo?
No, I haven't heard much about him, actually. So, yeah, whether he's had a setback or something, I don't know.
Another one for you, and also Gator. This one here, Pyrios, won four trials in Sydney, failed at Newcastle, now looking for dry tracks. Smacked a good horse, including Ostapinko, in a trial. Are you boys familiar with this horse?
I'd have to go back and have another look at that, to tell you the truth, but I will do.
We will go back and have a look at that. And Daniel O'Sullivan, there was one question here for you. This is putting you under pressure with very short time. Can you ask the ratings guru, Daniel O'Sullivan, to give us a parlay in any spring features over the carnival? I'll give you a few seconds to think about that, Daniel, while I ask the other boys. Early thoughts on the Golden Eagle. Duff?
I don't know whether he's got any form or ratings, but I've never seen a horse move like this, Elation. I think he's exciting to me. I saw a gallop with him the other day, and he's the sweetest mover I've seen in a long, long time. And I love what he's done. I know he's only, he hasn't even got any Sydney or Melbourne metropolitan form, really. But the market loves him. I love him. And I can't wait to have another look at him.
He's the $8 favourite in the Eagle. What are your thoughts, Gator?
Yeah, gee, that's a big rap from Duff, isn't it? You've seen a lot of horses gallop from someone so respected. I've got him second at this stage behind Espiona. No idea where she goes. I haven't seen her trial, Espiona. She may end up in Melbourne, hoping for drier tracks. I don't know what El Nina's doing or whatever that thing is. But she's my top seed right now with Elation second and Fangirl. I'm a huge fan of her as well, and she can win an Epsom.
And Light Infantry now as well in contention, Daniel, after its huge run on the weekend over in France.
Yeah, good second in that group one in France. I won't attempt to pronounce the name. I'll leave that to people more familiar with the race in there. But, yeah, that was a fast, high-pressure race. So I think the ground was pretty quick there as well. So it certainly ticked the box that not the Sydney weather, whether we get a good track in Sydney, but at least ticked that box and, yeah, would come here. If he brings that form, a very, very competitive chance. So certainly in the mix. Agree that Elation could be anything. Still have to take those next steps, but shows all the signs. Not very often to see a horse come through the ranks with some of the sort of ratings and just the other things that go with that when you look at a horse and some of the other indicators within a race. So, yeah, really exciting to see where he ends up.
Absolutely. We've got people asking for selections in the Epsom and also Rupert Clark. Duff, I don't know if anything sticks out early in this mind in either race for you or Gator. Duff?
Gator stole my thunder there. I think Fangirl's come up really well. And I think Espiona's a very interesting filly to me because she burst onto the scene at the end of the spring last year and typical Waller, let's sort her out in the autumn. And early winter, and I think he's sorted her out and maybe more of a sprinting type this preparation, you know, up to maybe, I don't know, if he goes to the mile or he concentrates on the 14. I think they're two really nice mares that you'll see the best of. It's their time to shine as far as that's concerned.
And Gator, just having a look at that market for the Rupert Clark, Uncommon James after his breathtaking win on the weekends. Now $4.50 favourite. Is that an overreaction or are you a believer?
Oh, no, I'm a believer. I watched him up close in that win on Saturday. He's still running around like an idiot, a drunken sailor up the straight. If there's not upside there, I'll give it away. He's very much still progressing. I think he's, still learning the craft. I love Damien Lane's comment that he asked him to put his head over the ball. He had to think about it. then he did. Everything about that says he's still improving. So he deserves to be favourite. He's my top pick for that race at this long stage. Yep.
Hey, Daniel, have you been able to weave some magic for our listener?
I'll isolate a couple of horses. I would take Real World in the Cox Plate, Deauville Legend in the Melbourne Cup. I would take Fangirl in the Epsom. Big fan of her. I think just in the Epsom in general, just look for four-year-olds. I mean, the last 15 years, they've only represented like 33% of runners, but they've won 67% of Epsoms. I'd label Fangirl there. And Sharp and Smart in the Derby, he was sort of mentioned before. I think he's a really promising horse. Loved what he was doing in Queensland, especially some of his sectional indicators. Reports back were that, you know, it was all coming a bit early for him and mentally sort of still not there. So he's a horse that could sort of take a step up. So those four horses, if you just sort of run some parlays just to win those sort of major races and link them through in doubles and trebles or whatever, it's a little bit like a lottery ticket, but you never know.
You've been outstanding as always, Daniel. And Duff, do we take it that Elation's the early horse of the spring to follow for you?
Yep, but until he gets beat, I want to be on his back.
And Gator?
I think we've mentioned a few of those. Espiona, Uncommon James, Fangirl. Like the way Gennady is going, dual Western Empire. So they're, you know, some top seeds and we'll spend a little bit of money, hopefully retire come November 16th.
Well, Duff, Gator and Danny, you've done an unbelievable job because it is trying to work your way through the fog looking ahead to these spring features at this point in time. And got an SMS saying, guys, I've really enjoyed this. Can we do it again in a month's time? It might be a good idea because we certainly will know a lot more then. We might even get the tab on board to get a free bet for each of you for some of our listeners. We might reconvene in about a month's time. time, if you're happy to do so. Hey, Duff, thank you so much for your time today, mate.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, we'll know a lot more in a month, and we'll be criticising horses we're liking at this moment, I'm sure.
Gator, thank you for your time. I can't believe you've taken the Swans in a multi, not Richmond. But anyway, we'll talk in a month's time.
Yeah, no, there's a bit of Judas going on there. But yeah, thanks, mate. Good to be involved.
Good on you, Gator. And Daniel, really appreciate your thoughts. And we're going to speak to you throughout the Spring Carnival because your ratings are so important pre and even more so post-race with these huge performances. Really appreciate your time this morning.
No worries. Cheers, Michael.
Daniel O'Sullivan, the best ratings guru in the business. I hope you've enjoyed that. There's a lot of horses that we discussed. It's hard to get any definitive answers, but, gee, there's a few at a good price. We'll put them all up on our social media platforms, and we'll also talk more about them in the coming days and weeks. If you want to have a little early throw at the stumps, hopefully we've helped you out there. We'll take a quick break. More winners to come after this today at Cranbourne.